Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That is the reading of Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24, if correctly read. I want to think on this thought tonight, laying up treasures. Jesus is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. He's been teaching us about the proper conduct and the proper character that a Christian ought to have. And then he comes here to verse 19 through 24, and he begins to speak about laying up treasures. 15% of the things that Jesus taught were about money and were about possessions. In fact, it's one of the greatest things that he taught. And you may say, preacher, I don't know why it's such a big deal. Well, I'll tell you tonight, money is important to God because he owns it all. Money's important to the devil because he wants it all. Money's important to us because we need it. Amen? And in these verses, God, through Jesus, has given us the demand and the dangers of money and our possessions. He's going to tell us about how to secure it, about how to spend it, and about how to share it. Now, there's a Treasury Department in the United States. It is an executive agency that is responsible for the promotion of economic prosperity and ensuring the financial security of the United States. The Treasury Department is part of the executive branch, and it was established as an act of Congress in the year of our Lord, 1789, and it was given or put in to manage government revenue. The department is administered by the Secretary of the Treasury, and he is a member of the cabinet. The first Secretary of the Treasury was Alexander Hamilton, and he was put in office on September the 11th, 1789. Now, the God who owns it all, he has his own Treasury Department. It's not government run, it's God run. It's not a member of the executive branch, it's a member of the eternal branch. Amen. And tonight, most people, when you start preaching about money, especially Baptists, they go in the hole and sink down behind their pew, and you can raise your head back up. I know folks are just buried their head behind the pew and said, don't talk about it. But I'll say this tonight before we preach. The devil had lost an attack on a good Baptist church. He'd found an individual within the church. He lost an attack on him. He shot fiery darts at his head, but the man put on the helmet of salvation and it never touched him. He fired fiery darts at his body, at his heart, but he put up that great breastplate of righteousness and they all fell away. The devil started firing more and more fiery darts, and the shield of faith just kept every one of them away. But the devil slipped behind him, shot him in the pocketbook, and that Baptist bled to death. Want us to see, first of all tonight, the caution concerning earthly treasures. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. To lay up means to stockpile. It means to hoard. Jesus has given us a warning about materialism and greed, about trying to hoard things. There are people who actually treasure treasures. And it's not just money. It's possessions. What is treasure? Treasure is that which you would do everything you can, what you would strive to achieve. That's what's treasure to you. It may not be money or gold, but there might be something precious to you that you have striven to achieve, and now that you've got it, it's a treasure to you. A treasure is something that you would also not want to lose, something that you couldn't stand to lose. That would be a treasure to you. He said, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth. Now, you may say, I may not have much money, so he ain't preaching to me. But there are things you treasure. And I would ask you to examine what it is in your life that you treasure. The scripture says, what doth it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, there's nothing wrong with saving, and there's nothing wrong with investing. But if you're laying up luxuries just to hold somewhere, that's wrong. I want you to think about this. Jesus says here, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. So we see the message, but I want you to see the measure here. Jesus mentions three areas where wealth is measured. Now there was a man, he was a wealthy man. He had been invited by the pastor to come and teach the young boys high school, I think it's 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade class. They separated the boys from the girls. And the man said, I'm too busy to teach that class. And later on in life, this man got physically ill, and he laid there, and this is what he said. He said, the one place in my life I missed it the most was when the pastor asked me to teach that class. He said, God blessed me with an abundance of wealth. He said, I have found it is easy to make a buck, but it's tough to make a difference. He said, my biggest regret in my life was when the pastor came to me and asked me to teach those boys. There were over 100 young men who came through that class that I could have made a difference in their life, and I decided I'd rather make a buck than make a difference in their life. Jesus says to us, first of all, where moth and rust doth corrupt. A moth would corrupt a garment. So the first way to measure in those days and even today is by garments, by changes of raiment, by clothes. Tonight you may say, preacher, I ain't got a whole lot of money, but you got four closets full of all kinds of clothing and raiment, and I'm telling you, you wouldn't part with it for love nor money. It ain't fit you in 10 years. But you are not about to give it up because it means something to you. It's a treasure to you. Hey, you know what it's good for sitting in your closet for 10 years? For a moth to get a hold of it and corrupt it. And that would tear you six ways from Sunday. But my friend, Jesus said, don't treasure up treasures. Don't lay up these treasures for yourself. You can't take those garments with you anyway. I mean, you got 192 pair of shoes. And you still want more. You see, we say, Preacher Darren, I can't afford to tithe. Preacher Darren, I can't afford to give, but we're treasuring up treasures. And one of the ways they did it in the old days, I'm sure we don't do that nowadays, but in the old day, they laid up garments. Let me say something about your garments. You bought that new garment. Let me tell you what's going to happen to it. It's going to fade. It's bright, candy red, it's beautiful, but by the time, I don't care how much woolite and things you put on it, it's going to fade. Your white won't stay bright white and your red's not going to stay bright red. Over time, it's going to deteriorate. You go ahead and buy your new car and you wash it and you wax it all you want to, but your bright, shiny red is going to fade away sooner or later, amen? It's just a fact that we try to lay up treasures and we value things upon this earth more than we value our relationship with Jesus Christ. So one way to measure it is in garments. The next way is in grain. It says where rust doth corrupt. Now you and I know rust is a destructive force that comes in and it eats away at metal like a canker. And you may say, well, preacher, he's talking about rust. He's talking about metal objects. No. Rust is another way in the Hebrew of speaking about something that would come and destroy grain. People would store food. There are some people that have pantries and pantries full of food. They buy stuff just to buy stuff. I mean, can after can after can. And it has sat there on the shelf. Some of you, you've worked hard, God bless you, and you've canned and you've put things up, but you still got jars full of stuff that says 1991 on it, and that's 20 years ago, and you will not throw it out, amen, because you worked hard on it and you value it. He said, do not treasure up treasures. Don't lay up treasures. And you value a jar of green beans that after 20 years is probably pickled now. And I'd be afraid of you if you was to get them out and eat them, amen. You may say, I wouldn't have no problem doing that. But I'll tell you what, we value things upon this earth and say, well, I'll be good and ready if the Antichrist comes. Let me tell you something. We ought to be ready in salvation, not worried about saving up all of our pickled green beans. I watched a TV preacher the other day, and he said for $600, you could buy enough food for a year in case the Antichrist came in power. Well, I don't plan on being here anyway, amen. And he's not getting my money, hallelujah. I'm going to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. So some people, they lay up food, and that's the way they measure their riches, by their garments or by their grain. Hey, the rat's going to get a hold of it. It's going to spoil. It's going to rot. It's going to be destroyed. Amen. You might as well, when you can it, eat it as quick as you can, amen, and get ready to do it again after a while. Say amen. He says also about where thieves break through and steal. Not just going to steal your grain and your garments, but your gold. I mean, one way to measure value and worth in that day, money, was gold. Some of you're investing, and that's good to have a plan. That's great. But let me tell you something, amen. If you're putting that ahead of trusting God, you're in bad shape. If you're trusting a jar of green beans, or you're trusting some commodity somewhere, more than you're trusting Jesus Christ, you're not seeking first the kingdom. You're not seeking first the things of God. And if you don't seek Him first, friend, you'll lose everything. It'll be of no value to you whatsoever. Amen? Now, I want to read you this out of the book of Haggai, chapter 1, verse 6. The scripture says, Haggai being the writer, the Lord speaking, He says, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there's none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. You may say, preacher, I don't know why I ain't making ends meet. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you trust him first with it? Well, preacher, I couldn't afford to trust him first with it. That might be your problem. Well, preacher, you do the math. It just don't work. You're right. But I'm going to tell you something about trusting him, amen. It won't make sense, but it'll make perfect sense when you do it, amen. And I know what I'm talking about. The Bible would clearly, through Jesus Christ, is saying that your earthly treasures will be destroyed. They'll be taken away from you. Somebody else is going to drive your car. Somebody else is going to be wearing your clothes, amen. The most important thing you can do is lay up treasures in heaven. Amen. Money can buy you a bed, but not sleep. Money can buy you books, but not a brain. Money can buy you food, but not an appetite. Money can buy you medicine, but not health. Money can buy you amusements, but not joy. Money can buy you religion, but not salvation. There was an old man, he was a rich old miser is what he was, and he called the lawyer and the doctor and the preacher to his bedside, and he said, boys, I'm taking it with me. And the preacher said, object, you cannot take it with you. Jesus has taught us very clearly. He said, I'm going to do my best. He said, inside the envelope, I've given you $30,000 cash to the preacher, one to the lawyer, and one to the doctor. $30,000 apiece. And he said, and at my funeral, and they lower my body down, I want you to throw that envelope in as my way of taking it with me. Well, the man died. They had the funeral. They were lowering his body down, and the preacher and the lawyer and the doctor, all three, threw in their envelopes. They got in the car together and were driving home, and the preacher got under conviction. He said, boys, he said, I'm going to have to confess. He said, the church needs a little repair work on it. And he said, I took $10,000 of it out, and I throwed in $20,000. I hope God will forgive me. And the doctor said, man, that's nothing. He said, down at the hospital where I work, we need a new children's wing. And he said, I took out $20,000 to put on that children's wing, and I just throwed in $10,000 down there into that grave. And the lawyer said, gentlemen, I'm ashamed of both of you. I wrote him a check for the whole amount. Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. So Jesus, in verse 19, gives us the command concerning earthly treasures. Amen? Or the caution concerning earthly treasures. Don't lay up for yourself treasures on the earth. Look at verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So now, not only does he give us a caution about earthly treasures, but he gives us a command about heavenly treasures. We've got to learn how to go through a conversion system. Jesus told us that we've got to learn to convert what we have here into heavenly treasures. Now, if tonight you are going to leave North America, the United States where we live, and you're going to travel over to Europe, and when you land over there, you've got to take your dollars and they've got to be converted into euros. If you were to go to South America, you were to take your dollars and you would have to convert them into pesos. So I'm not planning on staying here. I'm planning on going to heaven. And I've got to figure out a way to take my dollars and my possessions and the things that I have, and I've got to convert them into heavenly treasures. So what God is saying is, the things that I've given you, use them for my glory. And it'll be laying up treasures in heaven. Now, again, friend, you think about heavenly treasures. They will never diminish in value. They are secure. They are permanent. They are satisfying. They will never decrease. They will never disappear. The glory of them will never fade. And there will always be joy with heavenly treasures. Death cannot steal heavenly treasures because God himself protects our heavenly treasures. Most of us Christians, we are satisfied with a small heavenly treasure account. Now on this earth, you may have $10 in your bank account and you may have 50, but I promise you, you have a desire to put in more. And you will work all week trying to figure out a way to do that. But most of us, when we consider our heavenly bank account, that it's got $10 or $20 in it, we don't even want it. We don't care about checking on it. We don't care about maintaining it. We don't care about adding to it, amen. But the Word of God tells us how we can do that. Most Baptists, they want decreased preaching, but more presentations. They want decreased giving, but more programs. They want decreased praying, but more blessings. We want more, but we won't put in more. So I want to give you some counsel tonight real quick. There's about six or seven of these on some spiritual investments tonight that you can make. And I'm not saying I'm going to give you some holy water and send me $50. I'm not saying that that's what's going to do it. These are biblical truths. Amen. So if you want to write them down, I've studied much about this. Number one tonight, how can I take my earthly treasures and convert them to heavenly treasures? Number one tonight, through sacrificial giving. Turn back here real quick, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 4. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. In fact, alms is not just about you giving of your gold. Listen to what he says in the book of Matthew chapter 10 and in verse number 42. He says, whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So there's sacrificial giving. Just to get out of your seat or to get out of your comfort zone and be a blessing to somebody, amen, God would convert your earthly treasures into heavenly treasures. So it's through sacrificial giving. Number two, it's through supplication and praying. Matthew 6:6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter in thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Every time you pray, I'm not talking about necessarily praying for yourself. When you're praying for others, God hears, God knows, and it's converting your earthly treasure. Preacher, that ain't really cost me nothing. It's costing you time. Okay? It's costing you time. And when you do that, you're laying up heavenly treasures when you go to God in supplication and in prayer. Thirdly, it is your Christian service. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 8, the Bible says that every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. What do you do in service for the Lord? Preacher, I'm teaching a Sunday school class. You're laying up heavenly treasure. Preacher, I'm in the Sunday school class, and I help cut out some little things for the children to use as an illustration for them to color on. You're laying up heavenly treasure. Preacher, I'm serving him by
attending church faithfully and getting out and witnessing and trying to work in the Iwana program and preaching. Hey, every bit of your service to the Lord is laying up heavenly treasures. Hey, he is not going to forget your labor in the name of the Lord. It's not done in vain. Fourthly, your steadfastness in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. And I mean steadfastness and faithfulness. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Don't just decide I'm going to serve him one day a month. Serve him faithfully every day. As you do so, boy, you're multiplying your heavenly bank account. Hey, one day when we get to the city, amen, and the rewards are given, you're not going to be surprised when God comes and gives blessings to these who are faithful in their service to God 31 or 30 days a month, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. People that were faithful to God, friend, God is laying them up a heavenly bank account. What about soul winning? Oh, now, preacher, I don't believe in that. Well, let me tell you something. Proverbs 11, verse 30 says, he that winneth souls is wise. Preacher, I could never win a soul. Well, the book of Proverbs says you can. If you go out witnessing and you share the gospel, if you're faithful to do so, you're laying up heavenly treasures. Daniel 12, 3 says, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Look at Matthew 5, 11. You can also spiritually invest and lay up treasures in heaven by your suffering. Now you may say, preacher, now I can do that. I've had some suffering. Matthew 5, 11 says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You may be going through a terrible time of persecution because you're standing for the Lord. Maybe you're seeing it at school. You're standing for the Lord. Friend, you're laying up heavenly treasures. As you stand for the Lord in the business where you work, as you make your stand, amen, you're laying up heavenly treasures. Hey, he says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That eternal weight of glory represents a blessing that is given in glory because you went through some suffering. Maybe you've had sickness and it's been great. Rather than you moping and complaining and murmuring about it, if you'll serve God in it, you're laying up heavenly treasure. Amen? So that is, first of all, the caution about earthly treasure. And second of all, the command about heavenly treasure. Thirdly, I want you to see the concept concerning treasure. Again, he says in our text, Matthew 6, verse 20, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's amazing how your heart will shadow your treasure. If your heart desires something, the heart is where the will is controlled. You may say it's in my mind. Oh no, it's in the heart. You see, the heart, what comes from the heart can be sin. You can start lusting after women. It's not your eyes that's the problem, it's your heart. You close your eyes and not look anymore, but you still meditate upon it, and it comes from your heart. Amen? Sin, the Bible says our heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? But where your treasure is, the thing that you value, the thing that you prize, the thing that's precious to you, where your treasure is, there's your heart also. You see, one of the reasons our bank account's in heaven so low, because our heart's not in it. We're not really setting our affections on things above. I mean, we certainly could look at that. If you compared your earthly bank account and your earthly possessions and measured them to your heavenly bank account and your heavenly possessions, I wonder which one would be heavier. You may say, oh, my heavenly would be because of the mansion that he's given me. Well, he gave you that. But what treasures are you laying up? I'm talking about your bank account. What are you laying up? Where are you laying it up? Boy, you're looking at me funny now. If you treasure honor and recognition of mankind, your heart is occupied with ambition. If you're seeking the praise of men, your heart's occupied by the wrong thing. If you treasure money, then your heart is occupied with greed and covetousness. Hey, our treasure ought to be in glory, and our heart ought to be set on Jesus Christ. When he gets around us, our heart ought to beat extra, thump, 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 than it ever did before. Amen? We ought to get excited about the things of God. But I tell you what, you got those race trick tickets, and that's what excited you to death. The concept concerning treasures. Verse number 22 and verse 23. I want you to see the contrast concerning treasures. Now get this. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. So first of all, the contrast concerning treasures. He first of all contrasts the single eye. Now wait a minute, preacher. How can my eye be single? He's speaking about your vision. To be single, even though we have two eyes, if you're blessed tonight to have two eyes, say amen. But you're not seeing double vision. I mean, I've got two eyes. I got one eye looking this way and I got one eye looking that way. But they work together and they give me one vision. One vision that's clear. One vision, my friend, that's pure. One vision that's sincere. One vision that's without a hidden agenda. That's what he's talking about. If your eye is single, if your vision is single, he says your whole body shall be full of light. But watch here, he speaks about the sinful eye. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? You see, an eye that's not devoted to the things of the Lord, but's devoted to the things of this world, will be an eye that gets you in trouble. Rather than have a single vision to be focusing our attention on Jesus, we'll have a cloudy vision and focus our vision on ourselves and on the things of this world. And it's going to get you in trouble. So I'm going to ask you tonight, for you individually, do you have a single eye focused on heavenly treasure in serving Jesus Christ? Or do you get focused on things of this world? And I would dare say for this entire church, because we're humans, we focus our attention more on things of this world, on who's wearing what, and who sat with who, and who fellowship with who, and how much you have versus how much they have. And we focus on our own things. Amen. He says in Proverbs 23:6, eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye. He says in Proverbs 28:22, he that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye. If you sit down and study out having the single vision versus this double vision, friend, the Bible is full of text of having single eye versus that sinful evil eye. So there is a contrast tonight. There is a war going on inside you tonight. Last of all, and I'll close, and I know you'll say amen, there is a choice concerning treasure. Because I know Baptists don't want to hear about treasure. It just kills your spirit. I know that. So in verse number 24, Jesus says, no man can serve two masters. You hear me? Your focus can't be on heaven and be on the earth too. You cannot serve two masters. Let me say it tonight. If this is just one castle, there can only be one king in the castle. If your life is a castle, there can only be one king in the castle. Is Jesus king? Or is it you? Is Jesus king, or is it this world? Is Jesus king, or is it what they say about you, what they think about you? Who is the king of your castle? Well, I made Jesus king. Are you serving him? No man can serve two masters. Now, when I think about the word master, I think about slave. You're a slave to something tonight. Oh no, preacher, I'm freeborn. I've been born again. I'm not a slave. Let me tell you something. Jesus paid your ransom. He paid your price. And listen, my friend, he redeemed you. And now you are serving him. If you are serving him, you are a slave to him. But you are a free slave. Where else would you go? He's the greatest master you could ever have. He provides for you, protects you, and takes care of you. Hey, he is my master. If you're a sinner tonight, the devil's your master. You may say, oh, no, he's not. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. The old devil will deceive you and make you think you're the master, but friend, he'll be the one dragging you to hell. He'll deceive you and think that the world's your master, but he'll be the one dragging you to hell. Listen to me tonight, friend. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. And there's an ancient proverb that says this: he that walks two paths will soon split his pants. He says you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is material possessions. Spurgeon said this: a man's heart has only enough light to pursue one object fully. So in conclusion, I want to ask you tonight, what is it that occupies your thoughts? Stock market up, stock market down. My investments, my portfolio, my retirement. The price of gasoline. The price of beef at Walmart. The price of grain. The price of peanut butter. I'm so upset. There's an election coming up. Will it be the Democrats? Will it be the Republicans? Will it be the left wing? Will it be the right wing? Same old bird. You'll get that after a while. Same old bird. So I'm going to ask you tonight, friend, what is it that occupies your thoughts? What is it you fret the most? Losing my job. Then your focus is in the wrong place. What is it that consumes you? Paying off my house. Paying off my land. I got to get my car paid for. Your focus is on the wrong thing. Let me tell you something about money. Your life is like a channel. Like water flows through it. And if God blesses and there comes a flood, it goes through you. And if God decides to dry up, the channel dries up, you're still there, but money comes and money goes. You cannot let it consume you or control you, because it will. And when it does, it will flaw your thinking. What is it you fret the most? Not having enough. Let me tell you what that does. That takes away from your dependency to trust Jesus Christ. You'll say you trust Jesus, but you have to know you have X amount of money in the bank. You say you trust Jesus, but you have to know that that check is going to come. One of the hardest things I ever had to do is give up my job. Didn't give up a good church. Didn't know where I was going, what I was going to do. Didn't know. It's hard. I'm going to trust people. God's people to take care of my family. Well, there's only a few things I could preach about, because you'll get mad and you'll let me go and I won't have nothing. We won't have enough French fries for a Happy Meal. You've got to trust God. That's what these verses are about. Trusting Him fully. How do you measure other people? It's a big question. Don't look at me and say, I don't ever measure other people. You do. How do you measure other people? When I used to play ball, I measured people by their athletic ability. How tall they are. Whether they could jump this high or this high. Huh? I measured them by their ability to shoot a ball. I measured them by their athletic talent. Some of you may measure people by their success in business. To me, that's just numbers. It really don't matter to me. They may look successful in business, but behind it, they may be the least successful of anybody you've ever seen in your life. And they know the truth, amen? And you may measure it by people that look successful. And I measured it by people that were athletic. But get this. How you measure other people is what you treasure. That'll sink in after a while. How am I judging? Preacher, I shouldn't even be judging, but you do. And how you measure other people, what house they live in, that's what you treasure. What kind of car they drive, that's what you treasure. Whew. What is it tonight you can't do without? I'll tell you what, devil, He's going to try to find a way to get you out of church. He'll try to find a way. He's looking for it as hard as he can right now. He's going to start a rumor. He's going to get you to say, what did he really mean by that message? He's really wanting you to give him the money. And then he's going to say, nope, I'm not asking for your offering. It's not what I'm asking for. But what is it tonight that you can't do without? What is it that you treasure upon this earth? Friend, I'm going to tell you something. Dr. J. Harold Smith told me how many houses that he had burned to the ground. He told me about losing his child. He said, I found out that we can do without everything here upon this earth as long as we have Jesus. You may look at your situation tonight and say, preacher, we've got a family crisis. Listen, at least they're still here. There's a lot of people in this congregation tonight say, boy, I'd love to see my boy. I'd love to see my girl. I'd love to see my family member again and have the opportunity to say, quit running around the church. Calm down. And to sit down with them and say, let's figure this out together. I wish I still had that opportunity, but I don't. And if you've got that opportunity tonight, you're blessed. You're so blessed.